there is this one absolutely epic mistake that the vast majority of people out there are making with their LinkedIn network, as well as their traditional network. And the best part about this mistake is that people don't even realize that they're making it. And you want to know something? Nobody ever talks about it. All the thought leadership out there misses this one completely. So today, I thought it might be pretty cool if we have a discussion about the mistake you're unintentionally making that leaves mucho money on the table. My name is Paul Castain from Castain Training Systems, and I'm the author of the YourSalesPlaybook.com blog and your host for the Sales Playbook Podcast. I've personally trained over 20,000 sales reps, sales leaders, and business owners to sell more. So get your playbooks ready because school is now in session. Okay, so before we get down to business, I have a cool freebie for you that I believe is extremely timely. I mean, whether you want to acknowledge this or not, I mean, here we are. It's almost like mid-August. Very soon, we're going to be coming off the summer, and we're going to be in that home stretch of 2018. And the funniest thing about it is that we always think we have more time than we actually have. When you think about it, what happens after a period of time where people have mentally checked out, maybe there's a legitimate business slowdown, a lot of employees taking vacations and stuff, everybody comes back with piss and vinegar, right? So that's what's going to be happening in a few weeks from now. But it's going to be short-lived, because what's going to happen is, if you think about it, it's going to last a few months, and then we're going to hit November. And here in the U.S., we have Thanksgiving, and we lose time. And it isn't just the 2 days, because we usually take traditionally a four-day weekend here in the U.S. It's not just those 4 days. It's usually the few days leading into a holiday weekend, and a few days afterwards that people mentally check out, and maybe they're vacationing, and they just, you know, like, productivity goes way, way down. So we lose that time. But then it could start as early as Thanksgiving here in the U.S., but usually no later than like the first or second week in December. You watch business pretty much fall off a cliff. I mean, it just dies. Mentally, people take these mental sabbaticals where they're just, yeah, call me back after New Year's, and they're getting all fun and festive with the holidays, and it slows down. So as much time as you might think you have between now and year end, I'm here to tell you, first of all, it's going to go quicker than you could ever imagine. And also, you really don't have quite as many selling days as you might think. So I have something free for you that I believe is going to help you. And it's actually two things. The first thing is, I think, you know, like every quarter, you guys should be looking in the mirror, looking at the, like, your skill set, and having an honest look at, okay, I'm strong in these areas, and here are some areas where I'm not so strong. So I put together this checklist, and it's called The Qualities of Sales Rockstars. And it's just a real simple thing. It'll take you all but 3 minutes to kind of like go through it. I made it fun. I didn't make it like you're getting tested or anything. It's for your eyes only, so it's not like, you know, you're gonna, like, you know, fill it out or something. The whole world gets to know where you're weak and where you're strong or whatever. But the other thing that I did, because I really believe, not just because I sell this stuff for a living, but everybody needs a coach. Heck, I have a coach, and I've been selling now since I'm not gonna tell you the year, but I'll just say that I've been selling now for actually it was 35 years this summer. I went into sales right at 18, and I actually have more than one coach for different things that I need polishing on. So everybody needs a coach, and I have a free guide on how you can hire a sales coach, because you have to admit there's a lot of people out there doing what I do. So what are the right questions that you should be asking people so that you can kind of sniff out the people who, I don't know, might be a tad full of shit or maybe lacking, and, you know, might be taking your money instead of it serving as an investment and you being able to end the year a lot stronger than where you are right now. So if you'd like the free guide and the free checklist, take a quick stroll over to yoursalesplaybook.com/checklist. Yoursalesplaybook.com/checklist. That was way too long for me to be beating around the bush. Let's get down to it. So today we're going to be talking about the mistake that you're unintentionally making that really has you leaving mucho, which is Spanish, for a shit ton of money on the table. So whenever I teach sales teams about LinkedIn and certainly traditional networking, but mostly when we're talking about LinkedIn, this comes up. And I ask everybody, okay, what do you guys think is the biggest mistake that people make on LinkedIn? And pretty much everybody says the same thing. A lot of people say they connect and they immediately try to sell me something. A lot of people even say, well, they connect and they try to give me a sales pitch. And I'll say, what, like immediately? And they'll say, well, you know, anytime. So first of all, that's not like necessarily the biggest mistake. But I do want to put a little bit of a myth to rest. There's a lot of people out there, and especially thought leaders, that say you should never sell on LinkedIn, that it's wrong to sell on LinkedIn. As far as I'm concerned, and forgive me for my New York bluntness in your face type of rejection of that myth, that isn't a practical mindset for me or for you. And it's also an idiotic mindset for you never to sell on LinkedIn. Because especially if you embrace cold calling. So it's okay to call a complete stranger and hit them on a sales pitch, but not somebody that you have actually had a relationship with. Because if you're saying that it is completely inappropriate to try to sell someone you know, then that means that, you know, you're basically turning away the possibility of selling to a neighbor, family, or friends of friends, and you're limiting yourself. Now, that's not the biggest mistake. I was just kind of going off on a little bit of a tangent there. But, so again, people are saying, like, they're really flagging as the biggest mistake. People who connect and, like, immediately try to hit me with the sales pitch. I will agree that that is a huge mistake. And it's a mistake that will cost you business and people in your network. Hands down, we're all going to agree on that one, probably unanimously or even anonymously if I were to screw up the words. Like after a few drinks, I might say something like that, something nutty like that. But when people say that to me in this setting and they say, yeah, I think the biggest mistake is that people connect and then try to immediately sell me something, I ask a second question. And I say, okay, everyone, which scenario do you think happens more often? Someone connecting with you and hitting you with an immediate sales pitch, or someone connecting with you and never trying to communicate with you after that and basically doing nothing? So let me give you those choices again. What do you think happens more often? Somebody connecting with you and immediately hitting you with the sales pitch, or are people who connect with you and you never hear from them again? And that's where I start to see the wheels turning and the light bulbs going off over like every head in the audience. And I think we'd all agree that actually, if you look at what happens more often, it's people connecting and never doing anything again. Now, that was kind of the safe part of the conversation where I was talking about other people. I mean, you know, you could tell me that that's a mistake all day long, and, you know, we're talking about other people. But how many people have you, quote-unquote, connected with on LinkedIn? Or even in a traditional networking context where you've connected, you've exchanged cards, and then a whole lot of nothing. I mean, seriously. I mean, you know, now, I want you to understand, I think you can grasp that that is a mistake. But I want to beat up the point a little because, you know, that's what us sales trainers do, man. We like to beat the hell out of a point. I want you to realize something. If someone in your network needed something, wouldn't you be more likely to help if you had actually communicated with them, if you had some degree of a relationship, if you noticed that they were making some attempt to keep in touch with you other than when they need something from you? And by the way, haven't you had that happen where you've never heard from someone in your network. Heck, I even have people that I've attempted to communicate with that have never responded to me. And then all of a sudden they need something and I'm their bestest friend in the world, man. Now all of a sudden they're willing to communicate, which, by the way, I will be that asshole that tells you that I think that's an extremely shallow practice. It really is. Now, let me just go a little bit further with this beating up the point thing. Let's, again, we're kind of talking about the safe stuff. Now, I want to just bring this to you. Sooner or later, whether you want to acknowledge it right now or not, because we never like to think about the what-ifs, or especially the scary what-ifs, or what could happen to us down the line. But sooner or later, you're going to need something, and you have to own that. You are going to need, you're probably going to need something. And I'm even going to rephrase that, and I'll do some splaining, as my friend Ricky Ricardo would say, in a minute. Sooner or later, you actually should need something. You should need something. So let me explain this. As far as you're probably going to need something, well, you might be between jobs. I mean, you know, listening to this, I'm sure there are people out there who have lost their job unexpectedly, or maybe, you know, the company shut down, or there could have been some kind of set of, maybe you fell out of love with your job, or relocation, or something like that. Your significant other was relocated, now you need something local or whatever. Sooner or later, you're going to be between jobs. Sooner or later, you might be under the gun with your sales and you need to like no stone left unturned type of stuff that you're going to have to embrace. Now, you know, maybe, you know, things are all good and maybe you just need a warm intro. And that's the part where I was saying you should be needing the help of your network. Because if you're not going to your network and asking them for warm introductions, you are absolutely leaving money on the table, because this is how the world works. Now, here's the problem with a lot of people out there today. They take a statement like I just made about, in terms of that's how the world works today, and they say, well, what Castain is saying is that you have to network and therefore the cold call sucks. Like, no matter what, I mean, did you notice that like everybody wants to have a fight over this cold call shit? I have always been an advocate of the cold call. Remember, didn't I tell you how long I've been selling? There is no possible way for somebody to have come up in sales when I was coming up in sales without having cold calling in their tool belt. And I'm not just talking about picking up a phone, man. I came up knocking on doors, wearing out shoes, and all that kind of stuff, right? The thing of it is, though, is that a lot of people, the minute you propose something other than cold calling, they take it as if you're saying, don't ever cold call. Castain's saying the cold call sucks. Castain is saying that the world works this way now and that you shouldn't cold call. No. What I'm actually saying is your cold call is lonely. It needs companionship. From all the stuff that I talk about on this podcast, a few weeks ago, I was talking about email. Right now, I'm talking about networking. A few weeks before that, I was talking about creativity. I was talking about snail mail. I've been talking about referrals. These are all things that have to be in your sales mix. Now, here's the deal. You know, when it comes to, like, you should need a warm intro, you should be nurturing your network so that people would be more likely to help you. Well, let me just ask you the question. Because I kind of skipped a step here. I kind of like cut right to the chase. A little bit too New York there. Let me just kind of back it up. Let me back up the truck. We're not putting money in it, man. We're going to back up the truck so we can eventually put some damn money in that bitch. But for right now, here's the deal. Do you think people would be more likely to help you if you actually had a relationship with you, and they could, like, they wouldn't have to ask themselves the question, well, who the hell is this contacting me? Who is this Castain guy hitting me up for a favor? I mean, think about yourself. I mean, I'd like to think that there are, like, some good human beings in this world, and I'm sure there are. I think that there are going to be people that are going to help you whether they know you or not. I mean, I've certainly done that with some people. But I will also tell you that if you've been taking the time to have a relationship with me, and, you know, we've interacted on LinkedIn, and we've, and by the way, let's just kind of do a quick timeout. I feel like I'm really on a soapbox today, so I'm going to stay up there. What I'm going with it, folks. I feel like, you know, he's making his, like, big speech here. I mean, a lot of people think that they're interacting with people by simply liking and sharing their things on LinkedIn. Like, you know, Paul, I interact with you. That post you put up on LinkedIn about your upcoming networking webinar, I shared it. I liked it. I like all your stuff. You know, likes and shares, as far as I'm concerned, man, they don't mean dick. I mean, really, I'm sorry. I mean, it's nice, and thank you very much. But do you really think that's interacting? I mean, do you really think that when it comes time to ask someone for a favor, that they're going to say, oh, hell yeah, man, I'm going to help this person out. They like all my stuff. They're never going to remember that. So you actually have to roll up your sleeves and interact with people and have a plan for communicating with people in order for them to know who you are, in order to help you. But remember what I'm saying here. I'm not saying that this is a one-sided thing, that we should be caring about people for the sole purpose of being able to get things from them. I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying, yeah, it's a decent thing to do. But considering that what we're really talking about here is social, all caps, social networking, it might be important that we're social with people. Because I really believe, and it's not a matter of me just believing it, I can tell you from experience that since I've been networking, which is now 10 years, you know, in a in an online sense, I've been on LinkedIn since 2008, I've generated a ton of opportunity because I actually, first of all, when people reach out to me through my network, I actually respond to them. There's a lot of people out there who don't. They just, you know, if they need something, then, like I said, then they'll respond to you. Then they come out of the woodwork and start showing attention to you. And it's just, like I said, it's very obvious and it's quite shallow. And, you know, but anyway, I mean, you know, I'm kind of going down that road and beating up this whole thing over and over again. I just think that it's really important that you actually take the time to interact with people and be social with them on a social network. Imagine that. But here's the thing now. All soapbox moments aside, I think it's a brilliant way for you to stand out without spending millions of dollars in advertising and marketing pieces and a lot of time and effort. If we all agree that we're now living in a world where on like LinkedIn and even in our traditional networking sense, like you go to an event, you meet someone, that's usually about it. It's just everybody has this pile of networking cards they have. Everybody has this network that they've done a whole lot of nothing with. And I shouldn't say everyone. I'm saying that it's very, very common that the vast majority of people out there, especially those in sales, they don't realize that, you know, this is our acre of diamonds in sales, right? That famous story, you know, the guy is looking for diamonds and everything, spending all this money, and he's about to go bankrupt. And, you know, in order to survive, he sells his property and sells the house and everything. And then, within a short period of time, the new owner discovers like one of the biggest like diamond discoveries in the history of South Africa or wherever the heck this was, right on the very property. So it was there all along. It was like right under this person's nose, but they're searching high and low for something that was right there. This is your acres of diamonds. You have this network. I don't care if you're listening to this right now and you only have 200 people on LinkedIn that you're connecting with. I don't care if in a traditional sense, you've only met 12 people. But I'll also tell you that a lot of people listening to this have a hell of a lot more than 200 connections on LinkedIn. And you have a hell of a lot more than 12 business cards. And I know because I've hung out with some of you guys in your offices. And I see these stacks of cards that I don't know like if they're there maybe so that like when you get shit caught in your teeth or whatever it is, you could just reach for one of them and just, you know, like a little dental floss in there that you could do. I don't know. I don't know the purpose of keeping them when you've done nothing with them, aside from the fact that you can scan that shit. But I mean, like, why would you do that? And why would you have this network on LinkedIn that you do nothing with? So here's my message for you today. Get out there and, like, interact. You don't have to spend millions of dollars. You don't have to have a marketing degree. You don't have to, like, spend every waking moment of your days doing this. I'm saying get it onto your calendar. Just the way, I mean, like, consider this, like, almost like a prospecting activity. And I'm hoping, especially if you're someone who's listened to me for a while or read things on yoursalesplaybook.com where I blog, I'm hoping by now that you've remembered the message that I've had all along about your prospecting, which is don't just, like, leave it like to chance where you say, you know what, with this upcoming week, I really want to get on the phone. Or, you know what, maybe Thursday morning, I'll do 1 hour worth of, you know, prospecting and cold calls or whatever. No, like, you have to block out that time. And then treat it like any other appointment. And, like, I mean, if I had an appointment with you, you're a potential client, I wouldn't, you know, and if it's like a 10 o'clock appointment, I wouldn't, like, come 10 o'clock, go, yeah, you know what, I got to do some other shit. I'm not going to go and visit this person, right? And when I meet with people and I say, and I paint that scenario, like, would you just blow off an appointment with somebody that you had, a client or a prospect? Everybody's like, no. And I'm like, well, let's just, like, kind of talk about why. Why wouldn't you do that? And, you know, like, the gist of what everybody says is, Paul, it's disrespectful. You don't do that. It's unprofessional. But why is it that everybody else gets the respect, but when it comes to ourselves, it's okay to be disrespectful to ourselves? And this is why many of you are struggling with your numbers right now and your quota. And even so, maybe struggling to get to that next level of your life and have the life. I feel like an infomercial now when I'm saying, lead the life that you deserve, that you were destined to have. Buy Castain's 12 CD set. I don't say this to impress you, but to impress upon you. Anyway, no, I'm just kidding around here. But I mean, but seriously, you know, like, it's kind of cool to live the life that, like you deserve to live. But, like, you're missing things. So my advice to you is to get it on the calendar. And you absolutely need to have a communication plan. And maybe that's the why behind all of this. Maybe a lot of you truly don't know what to do from the moment that you've connected with them. Because if we've already agreed that immediately going into a sales pitch is the wrong thing, then what do you do? What do you do after hello? And that's where my sales pitch is going to come in that I'll throw at you. And very, very brief. We actually have a webinar that's going to be coming up where I'm not only going to give you my communication plan that I've been not only testing, but have been enjoying the benefits of for 10 years now. And I'm going to be sharing that in actually 10 templates that you can use on social networking. And I've also designed them to use in a traditional networking type of context. We have over 25 tips that we're going to be sharing. And the name of the webinar is called How to Leverage Your Online, Offline Network. It's going to be on August 23rd. At 11:30 a.m. Eastern Time. If you'd like to learn more, I want you to visit yoursalesplaybook.com/network. yoursalesplaybook.com/network. And with that, I'm Paul Castain from yoursalesplaybook.com. I am wishing you an incredible week ahead. Go get them. The Sales Playbook Podcast is a Castain Training Systems production. Come on by and visit us via my blog at yoursalesplaybook.com/blog.